Healthy-ish is recorded live from Lankford Studios in Cedar Hill, Texas. Welcome to Healthy-ish, an educational podcast that navigates love, life, and everything in between. I'm your co-host, Prissy, and together I will be joined with Dr. Key, a relationship intelligence expert. Join us as we tackle some very controversial topics and stories. Due to some of the sensitive discussions regarding relationships and domestic violence, we advise listeners to use caution while listening.
You know, those are the words that came out of George Floyd's mouth, the last words, right? And we did our special last week on the life of the love that we have and for our brothers, mm-hmm. and how we're seeing the expressions of love throughout our cities. And we want to just kind of highlight some of those things. I am particularly wanting to relay this message to the mothers because they have a lot to do, you know, with good and bad. You know, you cannot argue that others have been the backbone,
right?
Mothers have been the backbone of our community. They have helped us to get where we are in terms of politics and spirituality and love and food, cooking, sharing. They have done those things for us. And so highlight them. We love them. We appreciate them. And that Boys to Men put it so eloquently when they said, "Mama, you know I will always love you. Mama, you'll always be the beat of my heart," right?
Right.
I just want you to know, loving you is like food to my soul. Okay. With that being said,
is
that not flattering or what?
It is. Absolutely.
You like that as a mom? Now, do you think that would interfere with your ability to let go as a mom, mm-hmm. when your child
is absolutely ready to sign, I definitely think it would.
Ready to marry? Yeah. And this is what brings our discussion today, because that love between a mother and a son is undoubtedly so special. Even if a dad is around, a mother still has this special bond with this son. She's the first lady in his life. Mm-hmm. She's his first love. And in a lot of instances, mothers have a hard time separating those boundaries from making them their son versus their, mm-hmm. the man they would want.
Yeah.
Teaching them to be what they would want them to be. Of course, there's that other side though. That mother that spoils him, she loves him so much, she gives him everything mm-hmm. he wants, which hinders him, emasculates mm-hmm. him. But then there's that side that you create this masterful guy that loves and knows you and will do what you ask, and in exchange for that, you give him off to somebody else to enjoy. Priscilla,
I'm here.
Miss Prissy, that brings us a problem. That brings a problem into our society. Mm-hmm. That turns a mother-in-law into a monster-in-law. It encourages people not to marry.
Mm-hmm.
Make people not want to do what has been ordained or designed
mm-hmm.
to happen.
I agree.
Do you agree? For so many reasons, as a mother, we have, you know, women will argue, a mother, we can teach a man to be a man. And men will say, no, you can't teach, you cannot teach that man how to be a man. Do you think that's what they're talking about?
When a man is telling another woman that you cannot teach uh-huh. a man to be a man.
Right.
Well, it depends on what do they believe that means.
Well, what's the definition of a man?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of definitions. I believe that there's a lot of depth to that meaning of what it means to be a man. It's a behavior, for starters. So,
right.
if a man is to tell another right. woman that you can't teach another man how to you cannot teach a man how, or I guess a man how to be another man. I guess it's almost like that's a job for a mother. And so you're trying to maybe reinvent the wheel here. If this man is talking to a woman, uh-huh. I've also heard it being used in another way where a man will tell a mother that she cannot do her job as a mother uh-huh. alone in raising her young son to be a man. And I thought that
right.
is quite strange, only because that boy will inevitably grow into a man. So therefore, uh-huh. she will have to teach him how to grow into what else is it but a man? So there are behaviors and characters or characteristics that a man should have. And therefore, it's something that a lot of us have or could possibly possess, such as if we're talking about characteristics such as integrity being one of them. Right. So I definitely think a mother can raise a son into a man, especially if there's no man there, whether through, uh-huh. a man is deceased or what have you. I definitely think that that's the next course. But when it comes to a woman in a relationship, no, I don't think that there's barely possible for a woman to raise another full grown man into a man.
Yeah, I don't think they're referring to a full-grown mm-hmm. man to a man. I think it's referred to mm-hmm. a mother raising a son. And there are so many things that a woman does not mm-hmm. know about being a man. Mm-hmm. There's a rite of passage. There's a time where they are going through some things that they're embarrassed mm-hmm. to tell another woman about. You know, women mm-hmm. and men are totally different in thinking, in creation, and sometimes we want to, make it make sense all the time, but it doesn't, because we don't understand. And when we raise them and we teach them what we want them to know, and someone else gets to benefit off of that, I think that has created somewhat of an issue for our society. And I bring that up because I can understand why, especially if you're a single parent. That in sociology, that's mm-hmm. called a role conflict, because you are not only loving this child, as a child, but if you don't have another man in your life, some of us are loving him as a man. Of course, I'm not talking, you know, in an unadulterated way, but emotions. Even the son is feeling like he's the man of the house. He's protecting mom. He doesn't want her to date anybody. So they have this relationship that presents a conflict of interest. And if produced well, then she takes insult to someone else becoming first. That she doesn't mind him dating. She doesn't mind him having girlfriends. But when it becomes a point in the relationship where the woman is becoming first, why is it that the mother takes such an issue with it? Doesn't want them to marry, stops not liking the person. They may like them, but until he started getting serious and wanting to propose. And I just thought, could that be why African Americans don't marry as much? You know, is that because it's not encouraged, is it? It's not promoted. And it's unfortunate because with marriage and a commitment and a bond, you can accumulate so many things and you can do so much more in life and you can leave a legacy for your children. But if you don't have that, then you're not necessarily as stable and able to create those things. So I'm just thinking from the jump, a child of a single parent, are they at a disadvantage?
If they don't have a positive male role model in their life, is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know I know we already established that, you know, that might not be every relationship or every mother and son, right?
Right.
But
right.
I will say that I have,
Absolutely.
I don't know about you, but I've met quite a few men that were what you call mama's boys or were raised by women, even if there was a father in the home, you know, there was a lot of coddling and just, you know, I know I'm thinking about one case in particular. I think mothers do want their sons to, you know, leave the nest in some ways and sometimes, right? But what I think ends up happening is that there becomes a conflict when that man does get into a committed relationship or marries. Because what happens is then that man then becomes to lean on that mother, right, for some emotional support in his relationship. Right. And the mother then becomes to takes on this role of the mama bear, you know, where she, everything her son does is he can do no wrong. And she finds fault in a lot of what the woman does, even though she don't have the whole story. And so that happens quite a bit. And I've even seen that personally with a cousin of mine, that had happened. And because of that, I even know another man who his wife, his mother had ran them all off, and he had married a few times. So I mean, I think you're definitely onto something. There is some type of breakdown. Right. I mean, it could also be, does the boy have any particular sensitivities? You know, that's another thing. If the young man has any developmental issues, could that also create this this connection, right? Where it's overly involved, you know, maybe he had some difficulties when he was younger, right? Maybe he had a premature birth. There's all these things that then make this mother cling to this little boy, right? Or what if he's the only child, right? He died. She was married. He died. She never remarried. It was just him and the boy. I mean, I know so many, you know, instances like that with people of color, and you know, the boy, that man now has a really difficult time living on his own without needing a woman to care for him like the way his mother did. And then when he can't find a woman like that, he's really upset because he wants a nurturing woman to be the way that his mother is, But, you know, he just doesn't have maybe a good sense of what a wife should be or should look like, because he's basing it off on his relationship with his mother.
Right. Correct. And that is the other side of it, too, because I know a guy said, hey, mm-hmm. I want dinner at 3 o'clock every Sunday. Mm-hmm. His mom cooked it 3 o'clock every Sunday, you know, and it's like, when we're setting up our children, are we keeping in mind that we are wanting to set them up with the idea right. of them being able to make it when we're gone? And if they're not prepared to take care of themselves mm-hmm. and their offspring, we're not doing them any justice. If they're not prepared to live without us, we have failed them. And so many times we're not necessarily mm-hmm. thinking right. in that manner when we're raising them.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to do that. That's healthy. That's healthy love, because I want you to survive. The true definition of a parent is to make sure the child can survive productively right. in my absence as an adult, you know? And so all the petty, I mean, I literally heard, and I wouldn't want to call it petty, but the petty mindsets of wanting mm-hmm. to keep someone to yourself and not share, or not wanting to be second, mm-hmm. is selfish. And I know that there are a lot of moms that have to deal with it. I've heard one say, for 20 years, I've been first. The first to know this, the first to know that, the first to, you know, and now all of a sudden, Ma can't come. I got to go to mm-hmm. so-and-so. What?
Right.
You know, it's devastating for some. And so I just want to encourage parents, especially moms, to create the boundaries. The safety boundaries there, so that you don't establish that.
Right.
I mean, the bond is already there, but the unhealthiness of mm-hmm. this is mine and forever mine, and if someone is good for them, I don't want that to be, because I don't want to lose this relationship that I've created or nurtured over these years. And if I have failed by not allowing them to take care of themselves, or not pay or be responsible or take out the trash and cut the yard. I mean, I've had people say, as a dad in the home, I used to tell my son to take out the trash, and she say, he all right. He don't need to take it out, you know, or he doesn't need to cut the grass. I mean, I've heard of women stopping men from teaching their sons the way to take care of themselves. And I mean, they've done the challenge huge injustice, disservice, you know? Because I look at a lot of men in our classes, and they come in. I literally had one to say, I'll pay the cable bill
mm-hmm.
because I'm going to watch wrestling. Now I'll put something on utilities because, yeah, I need some air. But that's all they're going to pay. And I'm thinking, where did they drop the ball? When you're an adult, you're supposed to take care of yourself. So when you come to court and they ask you, who do you live with? The judge says, who do you live mm-hmm. with? You say, my mom or my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
The respect value goes out the window. There's no respect there, because as an adult being, you are responsible for taking care of yourself. That's the way the law works.
Right.
So who bought you that car? My mom. Who bought, you know, and of course, are there stipulations to it? Of course. I graduated college. They bought me a car. I graduated high school. They bought me a car. But how long does that last? I mean, am I mid-20s, late 30s, and I'm still at home? Living, you know, driving a car mama bought?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things to that, because I'm sure some of the people that are listening, some of them may have bought into the narrative that Black people or the Black community is the only community that kicks kids out or kicks their children out when they're 18. And that other communities live together as a unit for however long. And I've heard this before. I don't know if you have. And I've heard it before in terms of why is it that we have to get kicked out? Almost in a way to kind of justify men still living with their families or their mothers way long past due. And so I've heard it, you know, kind of said that way. And it's concerning to me. I don't know. Is that something that you've heard of with your, any clients of yours or anything?
Well, I'll say it this way. If you're not working and you live at home, there's not a savings plan in place. You're breaking in, you're in court for breaking into houses.
Okay.
These are totally different dynamics. If we're saving to buy a house, or our house got burned down and I'm living there, or I'm staying there to help my parents, or, you know, there are reasons and justifications for it. You can believe it. Even the counterparts. Even the counterparts,
right.
They have a reason and justification for what they're doing. It's not
right.
You just stay here free and don't have to contribute. And this is what we have to understand. When people are gone, even if they're doing it, even if our counterparts are doing it where they are allowing them to stay past adulthood, and they are not paying anything, they're doing their children a disservice. Because the art of life is, as an adult, these are the expectations. The law, you know, nobody's seen it saying, you know, as an adult, you have to take care of yourself. But as an adult, it is illegal to commit criminal activity. As an adult, it's illegal to panhandle. And it's as an adult, you're responsible to pay for where you live. You can't stay anywhere for free. So that says you're responsible. And so if I don't care what race you are, if you have left this earth and your child is an adult and they don't know how to take care of themselves, you've done them a disservice. I don't care how much you loved them. You didn't love them enough to help them to take care of themselves. And that is something that I hope that our cultures, all cultures, will take in consideration in their effort of raising their children. Because we don't want to create, we want to love them. The love is necessary, especially in times of this, like these. But I see a lot of people toiled. You know, because there are two sides to every coin. I don't want you to get killed. No, especially unjustifiably. But I don't want you doing illegal activity either. I need you to know that if you're out there, there's an old saying, if you are right, you fight. When you're wrong, you on your own. There's a story, Just Mercy, just saw it the other day. This guy, it was in the 80s, was on death row. Mr. McMillan. He was on death row for killing a young girl. Well, everyone in the city knew in Alabama that this guy, not everyone, people knew that he didn't do it. They coerced a guy to say he did, saw him do it. And saw him in there with the body. And the guy said that they put him in the death row unit to see what it was like there. And he had been in a house fire. That's how he lost his parents. And so you can smell the burning of the electric chair. And that's what made him say, okay, I'll say whatever you want me to say. And they coerced him to lie on this guy to say that he killed this girl. Now, the girl was Anglo, and Mr. McMillan was Black. Now, the reason this happened was because they chose Mr. McMillan was because he had 4 months prior had an affair with a white woman. So it's just unbelievable that he was selected because he had an affair in the city and the husband found out and told everybody. And so they chose him as the actual culprit of this woman's crime. And all I'm saying is he committed an act of adultery, which is not illegal, but it's immoral. And this is what, and all that came as a result of that. Mm-hmm. Now, these people were just as immoral as he was, but he put himself out there. And all I'm saying is that we also have a responsibility to teach our children those things to keep them from being out there. All of them. Not just Blacks, whites, Hispanics. We have that responsibility. And if we're not doing that and we're not supervising them, and we can love them. That bond is so strong. I know that love is great. That grandbaby of mine, I love him so much. But I have to say no. I have to put him in. I set a good example for him. I have to put positivity in front of him. I have to nurture him. I have to cultivate him. And I have to not pick him up every time I want to. And I got to be willing to do that. Mm-hmm. And I also have to let go when I need to. If we're not doing these things for our children, we are doing them a disservice.
Can you talk about maybe some confusion that exists? Because I actually, it kind of brings to mind a conversation that I was having with another young man. And he explained to me that because he didn't grow up with a mom, he had grew to envy that type of relationship between a mother and a son, this baby boyish type, mama's boy type thing. And I think that in turn also leads to incorrect parenting. Uh-huh. Right. So if we're lacking something when we're growing up, I mean, even say this particular mom may be lacking something growing up, she may turn around and say, well, this is the kind of relationship that I want to have with my son, because, I'm under the impression that that's the way it's supposed to be. Or even a father could just say, well, I'm going to step back and allow this mother-son relationship to be what it is, because I did not experience that, you know. So there's like almost like a level of confusion too. And then also it's, again, because they're under the impression that this is the way it's supposed to be, right? Because they never experienced it, right? So how do we kind of break down that myth for those that are listening, and probably maybe they didn't grow up with a mom, maybe they just see other relationships externally and they think that's just the way that it's supposed to look. So I'm not gonna one either interfere if, you know, I see my child's mother behaving that way, or two, you know, maybe I will sort of look for a woman who is kind of fits that, maybe that mold that I didn't have as a mom from my mom growing up.
Yeah, and you're right. That's what makes it so complicated, right? Because you haven't had that, and you're wanting to give what you didn't get. And you don't really know what, because every child is different. So a child may require more nurturing and love, but the key is balance. The key is balance. You cannot overkill anything. Right. You got to be able to provide a little of both. The key to successful parenting is discipline, but not first. Love and nurturing the child is first and foremost. You got to love on them. You got to establish the trust so that they know that you're there and that you love them. Then secondly, you have to create the boundaries and the expectations. And you have to create the, you have to create that level of reassurance so that they know that they can count on you. You have to create those consequences so that they know that you mean what you say. And then in closing, you have to make sure that you have incentives and expectations there.
Mm-hmm.
And consistency, of course, is necessary. Consistency and stability is important. I said lastly a minute ago, but that supervision is huge. We got to supervise these babies. Mm-hmm. We got to make sure that they know, we know what they're doing at all times, right? Because mm-hmm. they have all these ideas in their mind. And next thing you know, they're doing it. They got exposure, especially with the
right.
technology, you know, comes to their room. So you just can't think they're mm-hmm. safe because they're in the room. We got to be in there with them. We got to know what's going on, you know. And so to every parent, we just want to make sure they know, don't leave out these important tools in raising and loving right. your child, because they need that so much. They need that. And I just wanted to take a moment and spend time on that delicate issue, because there's a hugely special bond between a mom and her son. And you, I guess you can hear the grandbaby saying amen to that. And I don't discredit that. It's a huge bond with a grandbaby and a grandson and a grandma. But we have to make sure that we put those things in place so that they can be successful. And lastly, if there's not a positive male, then we put one in their place, in their space, in their, so that they'll have someone that they can talk to about what's going on with them. Mm-hmm. Because women don't know what's going on with every man. Mm-hmm. And we have to have, they have to have that outlet. The other thing I want to close with is prayer. Praying for your children, praying for good friends for them, because when they have good friends, then we know, when they have good friends, then we know that they have good influences.
Definitely. You're right about that, Dr. Key. And tell us how we can reach you and how we can follow up if we would like to know more about that.
Sure. You can reach us at langfordavenue@yahoo.com. 214-870-4129 is our number. Anytime you want to call and find out more information about parenting, being a successful parent, getting your child on the right track, we are here for you. Our children need us. They need us to help them be successful, provide that support, guidance, and direction. Mm-hmm. Being involved in school, making sure that they're involved in recreational activities, organized sports, or it doesn't have to be sports. It can be any organized activity, so that they'll have an opportunity to mm-hmm. share and meet others. And so they'll have a lot of support mm-hmm. group, you know, different sets of friends. But I hearken us to do a better job with being deliberate about what we're doing with our children,
mm-hmm.
Because they are going to take care of us, and we have to make sure that we're preparing them to do so.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prissy.
You're the best co-host.
Producer ever.
I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Signing off.
We'd like to send a special thanks to our supporters and for those listening. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a rating or review on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or Spotify. Have yourself a great day, and be sure to join us next time on Healthy-ish. Healthy-ish is proudly supported by Langford Avenue and the Avenue Proactive Resource Center. For more information, visit our website at www.enddomesticviolenceindallas.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.